This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's get the scoop on what's going on around AMI TV and the world of TV more generally with our friend Greg David. He's also an AMI communications specialist, but more importantly, he's our friend and he joins us from Chelsea, Quebec. Hey, good morning, Greg.
Good morning, mon ami. How are you?
Mon ami, mon amigo, my paisan, Greg David. So, Greg, let's jump in here with some big news going on around the world of AMI TV. Got a brand new program to talk about, which is going to be premiering next month, that investigates things that go bump in the night, among other phenomena. So tell us about this new show, Sightseers.
Yeah, Sightseers is one of three exciting AMI TV series that I'm going to be letting you know about over the next several weeks. But Sightseers follows a pair of clairvoyants as they investigate spooky cases reported in a very specific and special part of Canada.
Okay, I'm definitely curious about this. Maybe a couple of ghost stories or paranormal activities. So who did we tap to host this program?
So two hosts, Mark Jolly, who is blind, and Laura Warren are the hosts of Sightseers. And Mark, who's based out of Ottawa, is no stranger to AMI, as he was the focus of an AMI This Week segment a couple of years ago. And alongside Mark and Laura are going to be some skeptics who attempt to possibly explain what's going on in these locations.
Okay, a little Mythbuster yeah. Side of this one, too. I like that. We're just melding genre here, left, right, and center. Greg, you mentioned the show is set somewhere special. Where is it set?
Yeah, Mark and Laura traveled to the Halifax area. As you know, the east coast of Canada is rich in history and therefore full of old buildings that are, you know, centuries old, packed with stories and perhaps packed with the little supernatural goings on.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about a few of these individual stories they're going to be investigating.
Yeah, sure. So in the first episode, Mark and Laura are visiting the Boscawen. I hope I say this. Boscawen Inn. I practiced this before I came on the air too. In this inn, there are reports of ghosts haunting its halls. The second episode, they travel to Queen's County Museum, the home of wisps of smoke, voice-like sounds, and bumps and thumps. Future episodes delve into orbs, and later on in the season is the history of a location called New Ross Castle, where there's paranormal stuff going on. And the layout of each episode is basically Mark and Laura entering these areas, talking about the feelings that they have. They also interview people that are there on site and their reports. There are recreations. So if you're a fan of recreations and spooky sounds and sound effects, you're really going to like this. And then in the latter part of each episode, the skeptics come through and attempt to explain perhaps what's going on from a more scientific point of view.
Okay, I love this. This is a great idea. Looking forward to this one. So when does the series make its debut?
Yeah, just real quick, this is very, very different from what we do at AMI usually. We're really excited about this. Obviously, you know, entertaining and informing people about what's going on in the blind and partially sighted community. So we really hope people are going to tune in. So Sightseers debuts Thursday, May the 13th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on AMI TV. But don't worry, because if you miss the broadcast, you can always stream it on demand on AMI.ca or the AMI TV app. And something a little bit different with this show, Dave, the episodes are all going to be offered as podcasts as well.
Oh, cool.
So if you head to your favorite podcasting platform and search for Sightseers, starting on May the 13th, you'll be able to download each half-hour episode from there, too.
Look at that. On demand, in the air, everywhere. I love that. AMI.ca, if folks want to check out some more details on that one. Hey, Greg, earlier in the show, I said when we're going to have you on later, I'm going to make you the president of television. So let's turn to the wider world of television, where there's been a lot of discussion about this weekend's broadcast of the Academy Awards, where the ratings hit a dramatic drop, a drop of anywhere between 50 to 58%. People have been talking about those ratings going down. We're doing a daily poll today, how folks would want to fix the Academy Awards if I made them the president of TV. But Greg, it's not just the Oscars. A lot of award shows have been seeing a decline in viewership. Do you think the presentation of award shows are just simply outdated?
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and we were reflecting on the fact that actually award shows are really double-edged, because on one hand, you're tuning in to see how well a song or a movie or a TV show that you like and the people involved in making them perform, right? So did a song that I really enjoy win awards? Great. I'm on the right track. I have good taste. Did my favorite TV show win a bunch of Emmys? Fantastic. I'm going to keep watching and I'm going to pass along that information. A movie that I've never heard of won Best Picture. So, I want to check that out. But on the other hand, award shows are full of people wearing beautiful outfits, looking their best, and dripping with jewelry. They're being fed and watered the most expensive food. So is it outdated? I don't know. I feel like it's still a reflection of the upper echelon of society and a peek at media superheroes. And we all love superheroes. Mm. But, when I get straight down to it, I think that this year has really been an aberration, more than a year, has been an aberration just because of the pandemic. I think people are honestly going to roar back to the theaters once things get back to normal, and that award shows are going to be embraced again because we're all looking for that escapism. And, to be quite honest with you, I think that the Oscars suffered because people couldn't go to the theater, and with limited resources, not everybody has access to Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney Plus, and didn't get a chance to watch a lot of the movies that were offered this year.
I was looking really hard to find Nomadland to watch ahead of the Oscars because I had a feeling it was going to win some awards, and I eventually found out where it was going to be. It was behind multiple paywalls, and I'm like, I just want to rent this. It came out like a couple months ago. Why can't I just give you $10 and rent this? Why do you need my credit card information? Anyway, neither here nor there. Greg, before I start sort of spitballing some ideas with you, what about this? Are the award shows just flat out too long?
Oh, absolutely. They've always been too long. So let's get into it. What are you going to cut? So do you get rid of the in memoriam segment? Or do you leave people out? Do you skip the Oscar nominated songs like did this year? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Solved one problem. Okay. Why?
So the reason why I would drop the songs is, one, they're very time consuming. They definitely show a lot of production, but it's not the Tonys, right? If it were the Tony Awards celebrating the best of Broadway, I want to see a Broadway production on that stage programmed for TV. I don't need to see a big song and dance number for something that doesn't necessarily relate to the movie.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I can see that. Better fit in another award show. Okay, so do you get rid of the monologue and the host or hosts?
So it's interesting. Our senior producer, Andrika Delanerol, sent me a text during the show today talking about how much she misses some of that production element on the front end of the show, where there'd be some kind of big skit with the host on the front. I do think there's merit in a host ushering things back and
moving
forth.
Moving things along.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, Billy Crystal. I mean, he was kind of the gold standard when it came to moving things along. He knew when to be quiet and to step back. Okay, so that now what do you do? Do you muzzle the winners? They always have them being played off, and this Oscars especially, people were allowed to talk, and that's usually where political messaging comes in. And I'm not judging the messaging, the personal messaging, because you're getting that microphone. But so what do? You muzzle the winners? Do you cut down the amount of time that they're allowed to talk?
So here's where the contrarian comes out to me, Greg. Even though I want these award shows to be a little bit shorter, I would actually allow for the speeches to be a little bit longer. I actually kind of want to hear from the people who did the excellent work putting these things together. I would rather hear less of the person presenting the nominees talk and more of the winners talking. And I'll even go a step further, Greg. I would love for there to be actually more focus on the work in general, that almost if you could set a little round table of the five nominees for Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, and let them have a little 5 to 10 to 15 minute conversation that you could then play on the show for those people who are hardcore movie lovers who want to hear about the method of these actors doing their craft.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And I mean, you do see a little bit of that on YouTube. I know that the Hollywood Reporter has done these roundtables before, but that's a really good idea. Okay, so what about the categories? What do? Do we cut down on the categories?
Yeah, that's tricky, because I know you and I both know a lot of people who work in the industry who don't just work in front of the camera, who work behind the camera, do a lot of work to make movies truly magical. A lot of the editing, a lot of the sound work is what makes a movie pop or be spectacular. But I do think that perhaps that those categories, because they don't necessarily offer intrigue, I don't know if they belong on the big broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, I I think maybe they could take a page from the Canadian Screen Awards. So the Canadian Screen Awards, which are coming up in May, no joke, they hand out hundreds of Canadian television and film awards over 3 nights in Toronto, and none of those are televised. But the final awards are, they hand out Best Actor, Actress, Director, Documentary Film, TV Comedy, TV Drama, and Film. The Canadian Screen Awards, that final broadcast, lasts 1 hour. Commercials included on CBC. So what do you think? Is that the answer?
Tight like a tiger. Now, you see, that's something that I could get behind. In fact, I was suggesting this to our producer, Paul Daniel, yesterday, saying that maybe you still let the celebs have their black tie ceremony, mm-hmm. but you maybe present the show in a totally different way. As you say, perhaps either a repackaging into a smaller broadcast or just saying, hey, you guys have your party, but we're going to present the awards in a different way.
Right. Does it have to be live? Like, why can't they have it and then edit it? Have it live on a, you know, on a Saturday or something and do a quick turnaround on the editing. It doesn't have to be a live broadcast. I think that's what I'm coming out of this segment with, is that we play around so much with editing, you know, with reality shows. So why not edit an award show and have all those fantastic moments in there without all of the chaff that drags things down and gets people using words like boring?
Greg, we've got about 90 seconds left here, but I think this also speaks to one of the realities that we're seeing in broadcasting generally, that really the concept of broadcasting has gone away, that really it's about narrowcasting now. The Grammys might just be for people who love music. The Oscars might just be for people who love movies. That the idea of a casual fan of anything is kind of an aberration.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you see the channels that are becoming more and more niche. If you want to watch, you know, anything to do with a house, you go to HGTV. Anything to do with food, you go to the food. So yeah, and award shows are becoming more and more. You know, the Independent Spirit Awards is something that used to be not even televised, and now it is. So things are definitely becoming more specialized in the awards realm. And yeah, you know, maybe that's part of it as well. Maybe I'm as a documentary lover, maybe I'm not as interested in the Oscars because I want, you know, I want to see documentary films awarded, and not just in one category, but mm-hmm. but all night long.
Hey, Greg, you did an excellent job as the president of TV, even though you spent more time asking me questions as the consultant, but that's what good presidents do.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.